Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 9, the PowerPoint from National Academy of Sports Medicine's Essentials of Personal Fitness Training. My name is Eddie Lester, here to take you through the PowerPoint today. So let's go ahead and look at slide 1. And slide 1, or Chapter 9, is going to be called Core Training Concepts. So we're learning about the core here. All right, over to slide 2. The objectives are to understand the importance of the core musculature, differentiate between the stabilization system and the movement system, rationalize the importance of core training, design a core training program for clients in any level of training, perform, describe, and instruct various core training exercises to finish it off. So clicking over to slide 3, what is the core? So the core for NASM is mainly going to be made up of muscles that attach to the lumbar spine, the pelvic girdle, the abdomen, or the hip joint, or what they call the lumbopelvic hip complex. And any muscle that's going to attach to those specific joints or cross those joints or attach to those bones or stabilize or work in and around that area is going to be called the core musculature. So when you look at the core, you may just think, okay, you know, your obliques, your abs or your six pack, which is your rectus abdominis, your internal obliques, external obliques. Most people think those are just their core muscles. When in all reality, the picture on the right hand side in slide 3 is really showing you that anything that attaches to this lower core hip area that crosses the hip joint, attached to the low back, or works on the pelvis or acts on the pelvis is going to be considered a core muscle. So clicking over to slide 4, we have the core musculature as again, and they talk about three specific subdivisions of the core. You have the local stabilization system, you have the global stabilization system, and you have the movement system. To tell the truth, the one that NASM really cares the most about is going to be the local stabilization system, because most people are not able to stabilize their core well, and that's mainly going to be your local stabilizing core muscles. So clicking over to slide 5, the local stabilization system is going to be made up of the smaller muscles that are mainly going to stabilize the hips and the spine, that low back region, that lumbar spine. And specifically, those muscles are going to be the transverse abdominis, the internal oblique, the lumbar multifidus, the pelvic floor, and the diaphragm. And specifically, the one that NASM likes to focus on and talk about the most about is going to be the transverse abdominis. And the transverse abdominis isn't shown in this picture, but it is the deepest muscle beneath the rectus abdominis, internal and external oblique, that you would consider like around that abdominal region. And what its whole purpose is to contract, to stabilize that lumbar spine. So the transverse abdominis is going to be the most important muscle in that local stabilization system, as that's the one that you're going to activate when you practice like the draw-in maneuver or bracing, which we'll get to further down the road. So make sure you memorize those: the local stabilization system, transverse abdominis, internal oblique, lumbar multifidus, pelvic floor muscles, and the diaphragm. And the pelvic floor muscles, just as a quick side note, are the ones that are going to prevent you from, we'll say, excreting waste. So if you have to pee, when you hold your pee and you squeeze to hold your pee, those pelvic floor muscles are contracting to hold everything in, as well as to prevent you from excreting waste out the other end. Contracting that bottom floor, that pelvic floor, is going to prevent that. And that's called Kegel exercises, and that's strengthening that pelvic floor muscle, which can be important for the pregnant population or females looking to become pregnant to make sure that they stabilize that lower region of their core. So clicking over to slide 6, we have the global stabilization system. So the global stabilization system, I tend to just kind of group with the movement system, and that's because all of these muscles are major movers of the core or major movers of the body in general. So for instance, the global stabilization system is going to consist of the psoas major, the quadratus lumborum, external oblique, internal oblique, rectus abdominis, and the adductor complex. So those are all muscles that move the core in some way, whether they move the hip joint, whether they move the low back, whether they move the pelvis in one way or another. Those are all acting on the core. That move the core, more or less. So clicking over to slide 7, the movement system is going to be muscles that actually move the hip complex or the lumbopelvic hip complex. And these are going to be the main movers or the prime movers of the body that you would typically work out in the gym. So your latissimus dorsi is going to be your back muscles that have the larger wings, you can almost, some people call them, or your lats. Your hip flexors are going to flex the hip. Your hamstrings are going to extend the hip. And the quadriceps, or the main one, the rectus femoris, is going to flex the hip. And quadriceps actually only act on the knee. But a lot of people ask me, why is the latissimus dorsi considered a core muscle or in the core movement system? And it is because it does act on the shoulder to do shoulder adduction and shoulder extension, but the latissimus dorsi attaches or originates from the low back region or from the top of your hips on the back side of your body. And specifically, if you arch your back right now, sitting in your chair, if you arch that back, you'll actually notice that your lats assist in arching your back. So the latissimus dorsi does act on the core in that way. So looking over to slide 8, they talk about the stabilization system. And specifically, Nassim wants to point out that many people have a strong movement system, but a weak stabilizing muscles or a weak stabilizing system. And this is apparent when you have someone during the push-up test and they can do, you know, a lot of push-ups, but before their chest muscles fatigue, their hips might start to sag and touch the ground early. And to read the other two bullet points, increasing forces throughout the lumbopelvic hip complex may result in low back pain and injuries. So when you don't have a strong stabilization system, it's going to potentially increase your risk for low back pain and or injuries around the hip and core area. So to read that last bullet point, strengthen the stabilizers before the musculature that moves the spine. So most of the people that go to the gym, they're always considered or trying to do these movements like crunching the spine or lateral crunches or Russian twists or rotational exercises to strengthen that core. But in all reality, you really want to focus on the basic holds within the core training, such as the prone iso ab or the plank, a side plank maybe, the Superman, and even a glute bridge. If you can hold all four of those exercises in a row, it's going to be important, or that's going to really help to strengthen those stabilizers before you start to do your crunches and your side crunches and rotations to work out that core muscular system. So looking over to slide 9, the scientific rationale for core training. So decreased activation of the stabilizing mechanism in individuals with chronic low back pain. Performing traditional abdominal exercises without proper internal pelvic stabilization increases pressure on the discs and compressive forces in the lumbar spine. So this is also getting a little bit deeper into making sure that you can stabilize the core before you move the core. And this means, you know, hold your planks before you do a ton of crunches, as that's going to potentially protect your spine a lot more. To read that last bullet point, performing traditional low back hyperextension exercises without proper internal pelvic stabilization increases pressures on the disc to dangerous levels. So it's important to make sure that you stabilize the core before you move the core to prevent these shearing or pressure on the discs, those discs in between your vertebrae. So looking over to slide 10, so solutions for stabilization. There's two main ways that Nassim talks about stabilizing the core as far as during every exercise. And there's the first one they start with is called the draw in maneuver. So the draw maneuver is going to be pulling your belly button towards your spine, kind of, or what they say, pull in the region just below the navel towards the spine. And what this does is it activates the local stabilization system to stabilize your core. The next one is bracing. Bracing is going to be a co-contraction of the rectus abdominis, external obliques, and quadratus lumborum, kind of like arching the low back while pressing that core musculature out. And what this does is it focuses on global trunk stability and not segmental vertebral stability. So it's going to focus on the entire trunk stabilizing. And typically with my clients, this is how I'll teach them how to perform exercises within this bracing technique. And the bracing technique, the way that I instruct that is almost getting them into athletic position with the knees bent, the hips are back, almost as if they're about to sit down. There's a slight arch in that low back, and the shoulders are back and down, kind of squeezing low and contracting that entire core musculature. And basically when you do that, you can poke anywhere in their abdominal region, and it's going to be rock solid. So looking over to slide 11, they talk about solutions for stabilization. So Maintaining the cervical spine in a neutral position during core training will improve posture, muscle balance, and stabilization. A lot of people, when they do core work, tend to like jut their head forward or kind of tuck their chin in like and bend their head or lift their neck up during, you know, a Superman or something to where their eyes are up. You want to try to always maintain the cervical spine or the neck in a neutral position or straight up and down. Basically like the picture is showing on the right-hand side of slide number 11 in the skeleton. So clicking over to slide 12, the requirements for core training. So the core stabilization system is a primary slow twitch type 1 muscle fibers, which respond best to time under tension. So if when really focusing on that local stabilization system with the type 1 muscle fibers, type 1 muscle fibers just mean that they're really good for endurance, and that's good because as you sit down in your chair right now, you're probably sitting more or less upright and engaging some sort of muscles to hold that core in a stable position. And muscles need sustained contractions of 20 to 30 seconds to enhance static and dynamic stabilization of the lumbopelvic hip complex. So when you're focusing on doing core training, and specifically in the beginning, when you're holding those planks and side planks and Supermans or Cobras, hold those for 20 to 30 seconds, preferably over that 30-second mark, to increase that lumbopelvic hip complex stabilization. Looking over to slide 13, designing an integrated program for core training, you want to make sure that you have a progressive exercise selection in the sense that it should be from easier to hard, then from simple to complex, known to unknown, or stable to unstable. You want it to basically go from easier to a little bit more difficult to push them and progress them. Also, you want to make sure it's systematic in the sense that you don't just go straight into throwing, you know, a crazy medicine ball as hard as you can using your core. You want to make sure that they stabilize first, then they focus on strength, and then they focus on power to make sure that it's safe and effective as far as providing a stable and strong core. So looking at the next slide, slide 14, on program design variables, you have planes of motion. So it's going to be important to understand that you want to train the core according to all different types of aspects that they might encounter in their everyday life. So in planes of motion, typically you have your sagittal plane, you have your frontal plane, and your transverse plane. That sagittal plane is something like holding a regular plank, like a prone isoab they call it, which is holding a plank and that's moving as if you're trying to prevent spinal extension by contracting those core muscles. Frontal plane would be something like holding a side plank. A side plank, now your gravity's pulling you sideways down and you're trying to maintain a neutral spine as you get as you lay there in that side plank. And then a transverse plane or exercise could be something like grabbing a cable or a band, rotating it to right in front of you, and in athletic position, holding that to prevent rotation of that core. So make sure you all work in all planes of motion, as that's going to be important in people's everyday life to have a strong core in all planes of motion. And then also you can switch up the type of resistance. So you can use a stability ball, maybe some cables or some resistance bands or tubing, maybe a medicine ball, a power ball is like a big soft medicine ball, or maybe even some dumbbells in core training. So clicking over to slide 15, the levels of core training, you have your stabilization, you have your strength, and your power. And those are all the OPT levels of training that are going to be important to emphasize as you go through core training with a new client or with any client. And clicking over to slide 16, the core stabilization exercises are where you're going to get your first test question. So there's about a total of 5 test questions that come from the core chapter, which is chapter 9. And specifically, one of them is going to be or a lot of them are going to be referring to different types of exercises. They want you to know how to do different exercises and what those exercises are called so that when you get into the field, you can understand that and assist people with these type of core exercises and all exercises even through the next 3 or 4 chapters. So to read this slide on slide 16, for core stabilization exercises involve little joint motion through the lumbopelvic hip complex, meaning you're doing more holds or isometric holds. These exercises are best for new clients, for instance, the prone isoab, which is shown in the picture below. And that actually is a test question that for new clients, a great exercise would be the prone isoab. I believe I've mentioned that in other chapters, but just to re-point it out, the prone isoab is very good for new clients. Next bullet point, designed to improve the functional capacity of the deep stabilization mechanism, the deep stabilization system, or local stabilization system. And an example of the core of a core stabilization exercise is a ball prone iso ab. So like for instance, taking a stability ball and holding this plank, which is shown at the bottom of this slide, on a on a stability ball. Or you could even do a prone ball cobra, which is one that they typically like to ask on the tests. So anything associated with a stability ball is always going to be in the stabilization phase of training. But specifically one for core training would be a prone ball cobra or a prone stability ball cobra, which is doing the cobra with your chest on a stability ball. So clicking over to slide 17, they're going to talk about core strength exercises. And core strength exercises are exercises that involve more dynamic, eccentric, and concentric movement through a full range of motion. An example shown right below on this slide, slide 17, is a cable rotation. She's starting off square to the right, and then she's rotating her body a full 90 degrees. And that's using her trunk core musculature to rotate that. So clicking over to slide 18, we have core power exercises. And core power exercises are going to be focused on developing rate of force production within that core musculature. And a very potential test question is asking about these core power exercises. And a great one is going to be the soccer throw. So this guy is in the picture below on slide 18 is taking a medicine ball over his head and slamming it down in front of him, maybe into a wall or bouncing it towards a trainer. And then that trainer is going to throw it back and he's going to do that again. So core power exercises are going to be throwing a medicine ball using that core musculature, typically, from NASM's standpoint. So clicking over to slide 19, it is important to know how to execute specific exercises as far as core power exercises. And this is specific for the NASM test. To prepare for a rotational chest pass, the client should stand upright with the body turned at a 90-degree angle to the wall or the partner that he's throwing it to. And typically with someone trying to explode in a rotational exercise, if it's going to be a medicine ball, it might be better to use a wall than yourself as a trainer, because they're going to be throwing this thing pretty fast in your direction, and catching a 10-pound medicine ball headed at you at 20 miles an hour is a decently difficult task, especially when it's, you know, over and over and over again for 10 reps or something. But more test specific, how do you set up for a rotational medicine ball chest pass? You want to make sure that you're 90 degrees to the wall or to the partner, or standing upright in the sense. So clicking over to slide 20, implementing that core training program. In the beginning, you know, you're going to focus on stabilization level or phase one exercises or core stabilization exercises. Then you're going to move on to strength, which is strength exercises or core strength exercises. And then you move on to your power training or phase five, which is core power exercises. And clicking over to slide 21, they're going to go over some of the program acute variables or program design acute variables associated with core training. And this is never really tested on, as it's more important to understand the direct variables within each phase of training than it is within, you know, each type of training. But you can use this example right here when programming your client's core training. So to finish it off on slide 22, the core musculature helps protect the spine from harmful forces that occur during functional activities. And to expand upon that just a little bit more, I'm going to be more concerned with doing core training that doesn't flex the spine or extend the spine or throw something. I'm really going to bring a lot more emphasis to those holds or to doing activities that don't require a ton of movement, because the whole main point of the core musculature is to prevent spinal movement, which when you prevent spinal movement, you protect the spine. So all of those muscles are really meant to protect the core when you are moving throughout your daily life or in sports or in athletics, or referring back to our ancestry when we're, you know, trying to attempt to make a kill in a hunt. So the second bullet point on the summary page or slide 22, core training programs must be systematic, progressive, activity or goal specific, integrated, and proprioceptively challenging, meaning that you must include everything in core training. It can't just be let's do some crunches and some planks and call it a day. You want to make it a fully integrated type of core training. And the last bullet point, a proper core training program follows the same systematic progression of the OPT model, which is stabilization, then strength, then power. All right, so go ahead and check out the audiobook lecture, complete the assignment and quiz, and I look forward to seeing you next time.